I'm joined by PGA Pro at the Toronto Municipal Links, Allison Tarr, and PGA Tour Pro, Chris Reynolds, at the Salt Lake City Municipal Links. Both are fantastic people, can be found on the internet, Twitter. Just not part of the internet, I guess. It's like a subsection. Other usernames, Allison Tarr, Jazz Sequence. I'm Binary Gary. Happy to see you. Let's do a show.
Okay, you failed. Allison's Twitter username is Allison Plus.
What did I say?
Allison Tarr.
Allison Tarr. Oh man, I know her Twitter handle. I don't know why I messed that up.
But I thought you know my name, so that's what that proves.
Well, it's actually on the screen, so
yeah.
I felt so confident about intros today too.
It was a good, pace. I liked the rhythm of it.
Yeah, I mean, we're a whole 2 minutes in and we're ready to talk topic, so I felt like that was a win. I guess not.
You can also hit us up, hit the official Binary Jazz Twitter account up at Binary Jazz.
Do we have like a little logo that says official?
No.
Okay, do we need
like
one?
Like a check mark? I don't think we're going to get a check mark.
Yeah, we're not going to get a blue check.
Oh, I didn't mean that. I meant like, you know, like when you're like the As Seen on TV logo, right? Like, I want that little starburst,
like
but it
little,
says
like a little official. Stamp that says official.
And I'm not sure where it would go other than, like, maybe at the end of every tweet.
Certified.
On that account. Official. Just in case, like, there's ambiguity, if you look at the account and you forget what account you're reading before you get to the end, you can see the official sticker that says it's officially awesome.
I'll see what I can do.
I do like the idea of like trademarking every single tweet.
Sorry, you can't say snarky things like that. We have a trademark on it.
Like quality yeah. Stuff is happening over here.
Yeah. I don't know if that's the case, but it'll be fun.
Why not? It's a just in case.
It is a just in case.
The topic for this week, I'm just going to jump in, just going to do it.
Yes.
The topic this week is Yarborough.
Oh, it's a Dyson sphere.
Oh.
It's a Dyson sphere.
Delicious Dyson sphere. Which, by the way, like, I actually sat down to eat dinner in front of a Star Trek episode, and it was difficult to continue eating when they kept talking about Dyson spheres.
you sat down to eat dinner in the Dyson sphere episode.
I didn't know. We've been rewatching them, and
that'll kill your appetite.
Like, it's a good, it was a good double hitter, because then it was like Scotty from the original series.
That is a great episode.
Yeah. So there's a lot happening, and I wouldn't have chosen to eat in front of it because I couldn't. I was alternating between laughing and then kind of gagging.
But. And were there spit takes involved? I mean, was there food projected at the screen?
Mostly because my partner and I were watching it together, and so when originally the Dyson sphere subject matter was dropped, he was just like, "What? Like, are you kidding? We can't do this."
Yeah,
I was like, "Oh, we're doing it. This is happening. We're watching the whole thing while we eat dinner."
Okay, worth it. So what was actually the title? Because I interrupted you.
Oh, Yarborough.
Yarborough.
It is a well-known family of baseball players, the Yarboroughs.
Do they play in a specific league or team, or are they scattered?
Oh, I thought we were just supposed to discuss the topic. I didn't realize you were bringing questions.
Well, I've got follow-up.
The Yarboroughs, most famously, Clay pitched for the Toronto Blue Jays in the 80s, and Clay Jr. Plays for the team in Miami. What are they?
Marlins?
Marlins. That's the one. Yeah, the two.
Why are there two people that don't pay attention to baseball?
Yeah.
Why are the two people that don't pay attention to baseball the ones that were able to notice that or pick that out when you actually live in Florida and didn't know the name of your team?
Well, Florida is a big state, number one. I don't watch baseball, so I would be the third person who doesn't watch. But to go to where they play in Miami is about a five-hour drive from me.
But you gave me kind of a hint because I thought you were going to say fish. And then I was like, oh, I'm pretty sure that.
It is a fish. And it's not a tarpon. It's not a swordfish. It's not a other grouper.
Yeah, see,
it's
actually,
not a red.
I actually knew because I remembered when they were in a
mullet.
The mullet? Yeah.
When I was.
That'd be a great name for a minor league team, wouldn't it? Especially in Florida, like Gainesville mullet. Oh, that'd be like. And Gainesville's inland, so it'd be even funnier because there are no mullet there. We famously had our minor league team renamed last year from the Jacksonville Suns to the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp.
You're kidding.
No, I'm serious.
That feels like a step down.
I don't know if it was a step down or not, but it got an awful lot of media in the sports world for what a ridiculous, like another ridiculous minor league sports team name, which, I mean, was kind of the goal, I guess. I don't know what that gets you, right? Other than people go, oh, there's a minor league team in Jacksonville. That's not a reason to stop.
Also, like a great mascot costume.
It is. I don't remember the name.
Costume better than the Sun.
Well, the Sun wasn't the mascot. The Sun was the team, and the mascot was this like...
Jumbo Shrimp?
No, kind of furry-looking like bear thing.
Okay, that's
when I say furry, I mean like the furry like subculture. Like it was a little... It wasn't like a it was like a weird costume, like kind of bear thing. What was his name?
Was a step up.
In that case, yeah, maybe from a legal perspective. I don't know. The Jumbo Shrimp, I haven't been to a Jumbo Shrimp game. I went to several Suns games. I used to drive past the stadium away from work. I took Tyler to a couple games, you know. It's like a cheap outing, and
I feel like it's a better mascot, and then you could maybe have snack. Well, I don't know, but who's ordering shrimp at a at a sport? I don't know. Maybe that's.
I don't know. It's Florida.
I would. I think there were shrimp shrimp sandwiches available prior to
ordering seafood at sports events these days. I don't know. That's like an arena.
I mean, fried shrimp. Absolutely. Yeah. Fried shrimp and beer.
But then I guess it's kind of weird because then you're like eating the mascot.
I mean, not eating the beer, Chris.
You're not supposed to like eat the mascot generally, right? I don't know the rules with these things.
I'm not sure there's any, I mean, like manners dictate you wouldn't eat the mascot, but I don't think there's any rules against it.
So FC Dallas in the Major League Soccer, they don't have a team name other than FC Dallas, but their mascot is a Longhorn bull.
So does FC stand for football club?
Yes. And they actually have
for fucking cool.
Fucking cool. They actually have a Longhorn bull like mascot like person running around. So in that case, probably most people would be eating the mascot if you're eating burgers. I mean, not a Longhorn specifically, but you know.
I wonder, back to Gainesville, the college team there are the Florida Gators. I wonder if you can get Gator Tail at the stadium.
Isn't that some sort of endangered?
No, you can get Gator Tail at like every seafood place in Florida.
I guess that's just like wishful thinking from a vegetarian, being like, I'm pretty sure you shouldn't be.
I mean, of the things we eat in Florida, the one I feel the least guilty about is alligator.
Alligator.
There are a lot of them.
Maybe I'm thinking
and their tails.
Is there a difference? I mean, I know there's a difference, but like,
yes.
One's definitely less prevalent, right? I don't know. The things I'm making up.
So crocodiles are like southern half of the state. We don't get crocodiles as much up in Jacksonville, but maybe. I don't know. Alligators, though. I mean, if there's a body of water in Florida, there's an alligator in it. Pretty much is the deal. So, I mean, they're like lizards, only a lot bigger, and they can kill you. I guess if you ate enough lizards, they would kill you too. But I don't know what my point is here. Alligators, I'm not too fond of.
I don't think eating lizards is going to make them eat you.
No, but I don't think eating alligators made them start eating us either. I think the point was, like, you could probably gorge yourself on lizards and kill yourself, but
ah.
The lizards themselves are not going to kill you. Okay. Alligator, like, yeah, I'm hungry and you're close, you know? I mean, they're totally afraid of humans, except for the ones that have that like, been exposed to humans are like, oh, well, cool. Here comes lunch.
We can easily maul these creatures. Great.
I have a great photo. There was a park run on I used to go to when we were first married, and there was a gator that would hang out, like a very large gator. A notable size gator, I don't know, 7 feet, 8 feet, would hang on the side of the lake. And so one time I was like, I want a picture with him. So I like squatted down, like, I don't know, 30 feet from this gator. She's like, you gotta go closer. I'm like, okay, you gotta go closer. You gotta go closer. I probably went like 6 inches each time she said it. So I probably ended up like 28 and a half feet from this gator. And I still was like, just like waiting, like the camera to click, because it was back in the film days, and this gator to like turn and just like charge me and.
Well, they're fast when they want food.
They are. I am too.
But back to topic. Obviously, Yarborough is a off-brand Marlboro.
I think when I was thinking of the baseball thing, I think I got confused. Clay Yarborough, I think, might even be my local representative's name. I think I've seen political signs with that name on it.
You're like, it's not even a made up thing at this point.
It's not. There is a person named Clay Yarborough. He does not pitch for the Toronto Blue Jays, but he did something notable because I've seen his name. Maybe on a ballot. Maybe
on a ballot.
I don't know if I voted for or against. I don't know.
Probably you should know what he stands for. Names.
I'll know it when it matters. But it's a local thing.
Will you really?
Yeah. I will. I'll do my research before I vote. I mean, it's like school. I cram the night before. It's not like I think about it, you know, a long way out. I used to do vote by mail until several times I voted by mail and my signature didn't match the signature on file. And they were like, oh, sorry, your vote didn't count.
They actually told you that?
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. That there was a vote cast. It didn't match the signature on file. Would I like to update my signature on file? No, because it won't match next time either. Right.
Is it just an issue of your signature radically changing, or you're just a messy signature?
Signatures are messy, though.
Like, that's kind of the nature.
I mean, I would think that if you compared two of my signatures over the course of, like, 2 years, you would be like, this may not be the same person. I think I don't sign enough things to, like, oh, maybe I do, like, a loopy thing. I don't know. I mean, it's not consistent. It's not. So in person, I can show up and I don't know. It's also fun in person.
Because we have almost exclusive vote by mail in Utah.
Yeah.
You can still go to the voting places, but everybody gets the vote by mail. And it's increased turnout. It's increased.
That's interesting because in Florida, if you get vote by mail and you go to vote in person, you have to cast a provisional ballot until they determine if your vote by mail ballot has already been counted. So I've removed myself from the vote by mail list so that I can vote in person.
I used to vote by mail, but now I just vote in person. It's nice. But I'm not, like, I can only vote by mail for presidential elections. I'm not, my state votes don't count anymore because I'm not a resident. Wah, wah. For a while, I was straddling a weird in-between.
So, if you're not a resident then, and you vote for president, what state electoral votes apply for your vote?
I technically am still California, but it doesn't law, like, I can't vote in local elections.
Because you don't have a locality.
Yeah.
You don't have, like, a governor and a representative.
So, like, yeah, I'm not vote, like, so before when I was, like, in Orange County, I could vote on, like, my city and state stuff, but I can't do that anymore.
Right, state stuff is out for you. Got it. That's interesting. A Yarborough is a small, portable, paddleable vessel.
You always go nautical.
It sounds nautical.
No, it doesn't.
It sounds totally nautical.
No, anything it doesn't.
Toss the Yarborough in the back of the pickup truck. Let's go out fishing.
Toss the Yarborough. I think that boy in the back of the fireworks.
I think that's your secret American South showing.
I don't think it's secret. I mean, I live in the South. It's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, except that I feel like Florida only counts as the South like half the time.
Because the northern part of Florida is definitely the South, and the further south you go, the further north it gets.
Wait, what?
Yeah, so the northern part of Florida is very much the south of the U.S. I'm probably 40 minutes from the border to Georgia, but it's very much, yeah. So Jacksonville being like a larger town, larger city, pretty blue collar, so pretty mixed. But if you get outside the city limits, like you are in the rural south, and then as you get like Orlando, Tampa latitude and get further south, it gets more northern.
But not northern in the sense of the northern part of Florida is definitely the American South. Because that gives that whole thing like this weird cyclical
The South,
where like north and south are like interchangeable in a weird codependent way.
like the panhandle area, like very much
kind of like a
southern US. Yeah. Yeah. Have you been to the Keys, the Florida Keys?
I have not. We want to go to Florida. We want to go to the Everglades and the Florida.
I feel like we've discussed the Keys, have we?
Probably.
Okay. Well, I will go on record again and say that it is definitely a place to visit. Get a cheap flight and rent a car from whatever airport you can, Miami area, and drive south and do it in daylight because it is just a beautiful view heading across those bridges. And well, I mean, you know, sometimes flights are funky and we'll just drive to our hotel tonight. But the trip down to Key West is half the fun. It just gets more and more islandy and the transition is great. Maybe I'm leaving this weekend.
You're like, the more I talk about it, the better it sounds. I gotta go.
Yeah, toss the kids in the minivan, go to the Yarborough, and off we go. So it's probably, it sounds like an old-timey word. Is it an old-timey word?
It sounds like a place.
Does it?
It seems like that would be a trick, though. Because if Ellison gave us a place, then it'd be like, well, in this place, I mean, it's a place. It's in southern Kentucky. But if it was a place,
the Yarborough family,
if it was a place, then it would have to be notable because of something that happened in the place, like the lynching of.
What are you talking about? The Yarborough family grew up outside of Louisville, right? And had easy access to baseball bats and became a baseball dynasty.
Oh, like, yes. The well-known.
So the town's named for them.
Yarborough Slugger. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's made out of a
much maligned
of wood, I believe.
Yeah. Yes. Yarborough wood. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're just going to Yarborough tree. Yarborough in front of things until we hit something that's close.
So you don't think it sounds like an old timey word tree, though?
Just like Lincoln did.
Yeah. I don't think it sounds like a name.
I think it sounds like a name too, but
Weston Yarborough.
Oh, maybe you're right. Maybe it is British.
It's either British or nautical.
Well, I mean, if you trace American history back far enough, I mean, old-timey like is derivative of England, so.
Oh, I thought you were going to say derivative of nautical themed stuff. Trap.
Well, England is also nautically themed because they're an island. Both. But it's not a boat.
The USS Yarborough. Yeah.
Okay, in that case, it might be a boat, but it is not the name of a type of seafaring vessel. You don't go out near Yarborough to go fishing.
Maybe you don't. I got nothing today. It's a weird one.
Just like how many Dyson spheres fit in a Yarborough?
Ugh. Depends
that's
on
a the horrible class. Conversion.
That depends on the class of Yarborough. Because if it's a class one, then you could fit maybe like 15 or 20 Yarboroughs or 15 or 20 Dyson spheres in the Yarborough. But if it's a class three Yarborough, then it's definitely more like 50 or 60 Dyson spheres.
How big are your Dyson spheres?
You know, about the size of the soccer
basketball
ball.
Size, yeah,
about the size of the soccer ball that you had on screen earlier in the show.
Yeah,
for reference. Geez, I got nothing.
Just staring at that ball.
Maybe it's a tool. It's a Dyson sphere. Is it a tool of some sort?
Oh yeah.
I'm thinking wheelbarrow.
The Yarborough wrench. You don't pronounce wheelbarrow that way. You don't pronounce wheelbarrow like Yarborough.
Wheelbarrow. That's the South.
Wheelbarrow.
Are there any words that you pronounce that you didn't know you were pronouncing oddly, like that are more commonplace? That
Brisbane.
How are you supposed to say it? Brisbane.
Brisbane. And Melbourne.
Oh, that would throw me off.
I feel like that's like a constant thing for me. The conversation about
and when I was in England, things. When I was in England, I went to the University of East Anglia in Norwich, which is Norwich.
Oh, I
the W is silent. That's cool.
Yeah, and
the O's an A.
As well as everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, constantly getting lost.
If you go to England, you just drop half the syllables.
Just be pointing, being like, "I want to go here. How do I get here?"
Well,
Edinburgh, Greenwich.
Chris, I think we need a more analytical approach to this topic.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You can't break it down into parts like you normally do. It's
yar.
Well, it doesn't help anyway.
The Latin root yar.
Oh, it's a pirate thing. Interesting. Yar.
It's a burrowing pirate. Yar, it's the clever Yarborough.
Clever Yarborough.
It's a step of gopher that has
the burrowing Yarborough.
One eye is perpetually sort of half closed, so it's called the Yarborough.
And it has difficulty burrowing as a result because it kind of just spirals because it can only see out of one.
Pops out of the ground from time to time.
Or maybe it's like a nickname for a marmot or something. Oh, it's a Yarborough.
Oh, the Yarborough.
Isn't a marmot like a veggie spread you put on things?
No, that's Marmite. Oh.
Which I believe is not a derivative from a marmot.
No, it is not.
You rain it out. Oh, gross.
What a joke.
I hope at this point people know that they should not be thinking like eating while listening to this.
Or maybe it's like the most, I don't know, like Dyson sphere, I might be coming around to it. I feel like I'm trying to like maybe associating it with just good barbecue vibes of my own, not the actual meat sphere, but like my own derivative of a nice barbecue.
I really hope
even if a Dyson sphere, even if you made a veggie Dyson sphere, it would still not get fully cooked unless you had a way of like infusing the middle with.
I thought we discussed this. Yeah, I mean, that's like an electrical probe, and you cut from the inside out. Yeah,
that's why you have.
And the problem with that, obviously, is you don't get the snap in the casing that you would like when you.
The casing.
I had
I like that the snap in the casing was something that you would desire. That's a desirable feature. No, it's like when
it's a bug.
It's like when you burn your marshmallow and it gets completely covered in flame, and then you pull off the burnt part and you put it back into the fire. That's what my kids do. And then you burn it again, you pull off the burnt part, you put it again, you just keep doing it over and over again.
That is
so you get to the core of what it is to be a marshmallow.
Yes.
That is so good.
Maybe your kids just need an electrode so they can just burn the inside to start with and just eat the outside.
That's what I'm talking about.
Give your kids electrodes.
Oh, speaking of fun electrical devices, I might not be able to actually lift
this. I like where this is going.
On camera. Oh, yeah, I can.
Ooh, what is that from?
That looks amazing.
It's an oscilloscope.
What are you going to use it for?
I have no idea.
Where'd you? It's awesome. I always wanted one of those.
Going to put it on your old-timey submarine.
No, I'm hoping that I can run like audio through it, and like if I'm like making music, then you can just like see the music that's being produced.
That's gonna be cool.
But I mean, I have no idea. I could. There's so many things I can do with it.
So would that
with an oscilloscope? I'm like, I don't know. Many things. Experiment.
Where did
my possibilities are endless.
Did you just, yeah, is it a curb find?
No. So that, so I've talked about, I at least I've talked in Slack about my partner's grandfather, who is one of the scientists that worked on the first atomic bombs. And he was a ridiculous scientist. And he had two, I believe.
The best kind.
If not more oscilloscopes in his little workshop in the basement. And so now that her grandmother passed a couple months ago, the siblings, their kids, are going through all their stuff. And I had said I would be interested in one of the oscilloscopes. And it came back in the last trip that went when her parents went up there to start divvying up the random stuff. They came back with one of the oscilloscopes.
That's amazing.
So is it radioactive?
No, I hope not. Okay. So I'm now the proud owner.
Have you checked?
No, I don't have my
Geiger counter
with me. Yeah, no.
Is that the only way? Like, is that the most common way to check? Why did we all just chime in Geiger counter?
Yes, it is. Well,
because I mean, we all grew up like the tail end of the Cold War. So
to be fair, it's possible.
TV always was worried about nuclear.
It is possible that it could have radioactivity just because. They did live stored
with a bunch of bananas.
Well, no, they did live in testing grounds when they were building the bomb, and they were doing the testing and all this stuff. They lived on the base where they blew up the bombs. So it is not out of the realm of possibility, but I don't think it's radioactive.
What a cool thing to be able to get, and then also you're going to be you're going to use it for such a cool. Yeah. That's fascinating. Such a cool. Even if you didn't utilize it,
sitting on the shelf. Yeah.
It looks very, very
cool. It is an oscilloscope. What are you
gonna use? The fact that you're actually going to be utilizing it for something as well is also very cool.
Yeah. The only thing I'm not sure about is the actual connections, but I think that one way or another, I should be able to find like some kind of an adapter or something for the types of connections that it has. I don't think he was using it for sound. I think he was using it to gauge like electrical charge or connectivity or conductivity or something. Because the stuff that he has is like, he's got this clip that I believe like you would put on to something electrical and it would like show a thing. It came with a bunch of wires. There's a thing.
Oh, that's fine.
Oh, and a stethoscope. That's a BNC connector, isn't it?
And then there's this thing. I don't know.
Oh, if Radio Shack still existed, you could go get that connector, like an adapter for that.
They don't exist here.
Do they exist at all?
So Radio Shack broke up as a company, but there are franchises that were locally owned that still might exist. But I don't think there's any left in Utah. Yeah.
You can definitely, that's going to be a fun treasure finding for cables and adapters.
I like hunting for cables. Yeah. I used to have far too many of them. Just random adapters for things.
The moment of truth where you're like, I think I found the one. And you're like, there's that brief moment of nope. Or yes.
So that's off topic.
Unless you find that Yarbrough.
Unless I find the Yarbrough cable.
Maybe you should start calling people, hey, do you have a Yarbrough adapter?
I wish that was the actual.
I'm looking for a male to female Yarbrough.
How long do you need? 3 meter and 6 meter.
Oh, I love that you did it in meters.
Isn't that, but cables are, I feel like cables are always measured in meters, right?
No.
Yeah. It's one of those weird, it can go either way, I think. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I've been catching quite a few TV shows on Netflix, British TV shows. And they have referred to things in miles several times. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize, like, it should have thrown me the first time I heard it. And it probably took 27 times. I'm like, wait, why did they say miles and not kilometers?
Are these like a BBC America show?
No, this is like...
Or a made-for-Netflix show in England? Because they do things stupidly sometimes where, like, they'll change things to, or they'll use miles as a unit of measurement because they know the audience of the show is going to be predominantly in the United States.
That's likely the case.
So we've reached the tiger time. So let's get the top.
What's a Yarborough?
Let's figure out what a Yarborough is.
A Yarborough is a hand of cards with no card higher than a 9. So it's like not a very good hand, basically.
It is an old timey word.
So it's like a mulligan, except not as bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's a mulligan? I thought it was a golf thing.
I don't know. In Magic the Gathering, if I don't have any lands in my hand, I can take a mulligan and reshuffle my deck and draw a new hand at the beginning of the game.
Okay.
I didn't know that term applied in anything else other than golf.
Mulligan?
Yeah. But I like that it does.
Well, as local PGA Tour pro, it colors a lot of your thinking, obviously.
The other thing about Yarborough, you're not wrong, is that it's sort of named after the second Earl of Yarborough, who was a British noble person.
Who was a really bad card player.
Yeah, he was
a British pirate.
Apparently he would offer bets for like £1,000 to anyone who had a Yarborough, basically.
So he made having a crappy hand desirable?
Yeah, because the odds of getting that kind of hand are like 3,000 to 1 or something.
Huh.
I don't know if it worked out for him. But.
Let's define a hand. A hand is 5 cards.
You're playing.
I think so, because I think in this case it was originally bridge was the way that. So bridge is.
Yeah. Whoa. Earthquake.
It sounds like a really shitty bridge hand, although I've never played bridge. I don't know that much about it. I've played Pinnacle, which I'm heard is sort of similar.
I think it is. It's yeah, if you don't have anything, well, I don't know. I'm not a good enough bridge player to.
There are quite a few games like around that similar concept of building like melds and hands and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Different takes with and without partners and et cetera. So.
And like playing,
I feel like bridge, if you know one, then the others.
Playing bridge is dependent a lot on your partner as well. So like, it's like psychic communication, and that's why when people lose their bridge partner, it's a big deal.
Okay, that makes sense. Because it's because Pinnacle doesn't quite go down that far, but you do have to like, you're giving stuff to your partner, and your partner's the one that's getting the points, and so. You kind of need to have some sort of nonverbal communication going on.
To like understand like what the other person will do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of like winks, but not winks.
Right. Yeah.
Hmm.
What's that whispering noise? Is that the oscillator?
No.
There's some bird or bug. Or
like cicada?
Bug. It could be. I found a couple shells.
Oh, questions. We don't have any listener questions, so you can submit your questions on binaryjazz.us or at Twitter, @binaryjazz. But since we don't have any listener questions, we have some questions that Allison has saved in the archives. If you were a teacher at Hogwarts, what subject would you teach?
Beginning levitation.
Is that a class?
Why beginning?
I don't think I'm very good at it. I certainly can't teach advanced levitation.
But you'd be the teacher. You can dream big, Gary.
I mean, I have to only be one chapter ahead of the students, right? So.
Electromancy. Sounds exciting. Yeah. Or astroacoustical physics. Astroacoustics Mancy.
The one rule to teach something is you have to be able to pronounce it first.
You have to know what it is.
Yeah, you have to be able to spell it.
Yeah. Geometry.
Divining the future through musical interpretation.
Okay. Ooh, I take that class.
it's a field I just made up. Allison, what would you be the teacher of? Obviously, you
have potions. I like mixing things. Ooh, or the magical creatures. Because I feel like I'd be better at it than Hagrid.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be very good at potions. I don't think I'd be very good at most of the things that are taught at Hogwarts. So I feel like my subject would have to be something that doesn't exist.
Yet. You bring it to the table and you're like, I think that the students need to learn this.
Yeah. Or like digital witchcraft or like technomancy.
Yeah. There definitely needs to be a bit more of that. Yeah. There needs to be.
We need to inject some like shadow run into.
Well, they need more digital literacy, just like today's youth.
Everybody. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, flying cars is the coolest thing you can do. No, you can build an airplane and make it like magical.
That's a good point.
Ooh, more legroom.
More legroom. I need to be
look at that recline. That's like 3 degrees more than you get anywhere else.
This recline is so luxurious. How do they achieve it?
Or like, I mean, you know, the freaking TARDIS is basically magic, and it's bigger on the inside.
That's true.
So you can make things bigger on the inside, obviously.
Like a Dyson sphere.
Like a Dyson
sphere. Isn't that obvious?
Bigger in the inside.
Everybody so wants. Give the people what they want. That's what I say.
The people want Dyson spheres.
More internal.
They're getting into.
Less casing. More of the good stuff inside.
I feel like this episode deserves like a congratulations. Like, congrats, listeners, you made it this far.
A number of Dyson sphere references.
Yeah, I mean that and eating lizards. And
if you haven't at this point listened to the Dyson sphere episode, you might want to listen to the Dyson sphere episode.
Maybe not, depending on which way you're leaning.
No, I think you probably should. Yeah. If you're listening to this episode and any other episode, because we're going to mention Dyson spheres in the future as well, probably you should. If you don't listen to the back catalog at all, that's the one you should go back to.
That's true. The representative episode of.
It's not even really representative. It's just the running joke-ness.
You all aren't. So when you buy bacon, right? Like
no.
The back, there's you don't, but when you don't, when I buy bacon, the back there's a little window, and it always makes me laugh because it says it's like a picture. It says represent, like it's all the way across. It says representative slice, which makes the bacon seem so much more dignified. Like you should be wearing like a tie and like a coat. Like I just can't help but laugh every time I see representative slice.
I am the representative of this slab of bacon.
I have so many questions. I'm going to go to the grocery store and be like, where's the bacon window? Like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I just feel like there's a better name for it than representative slice. Like, don't call it anything. Just here's a picture of a bacon or like a window, or like a clear plastic thing so you can see the inside of the package. I don't know. Representative slice just seems like a little, I don't know.
Presumptuous?
That's the word I'm looking for, yeah. Yeah. Like, you're bacon. You're not, this is, it's a pretty, like, low-level contract here. I am purchasing you to cook and eat. Like, you don't need to stand for anything. You just need to fry.
Of all the meats, though.
Yeah.
Maybe that's bacon of all the meats. Supposed to say.
I don't know. I don't know. Do you yield the floor to Representative Slice?
Picture like a little medallion and like a top hat on a bacon.
I thought I was thinking of Representative Slice as
like in a monocle,
as being the representative, being the title, Representative Slice being the title. But yes, thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes or Google Play. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.